Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Friday, July 15th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We are on page 14, the last paragraph, which begins with "My friend emphasized and ends with us. It is just like that. Today's readers are Reggie O. for the 12 Steps, Julie E. B. for the 12 Traditions, Jordan L. and Robin P. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19180. That's 19,180. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19189. That's 19,189 for July 15th, Friday morning. DOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Reggie O. to please read the 12 steps. Star one to unmute, Reggie.
Good morning again. Sorry about that little delay there. Can you hear me?
Yes, you sound great.
Wonderful. Okay, good morning, everybody. This is Reggie O., gratefully recovered and currently living in Texas. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you so much, Reggie O. Okay, Julie E.B., will you please read the 12 traditions?
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems with money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible for those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public means of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thank you very much, Julie E.B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using the star 1 key, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 14, the last paragraph. And I'm going to ask Jornell to please read that for us.
Hey, good morning, Elaine. Can you hear me okay?
You sound great.
Awesome. My name's Jornell. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. My friend had emphasized the absolute necessity of demonstrating these principles in all my affairs. Particularly was it imperative to work with others as he had worked with me. Faith without works is dead, he said, and how appallingly true for the alcoholic. If an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, he could not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. If he did not work, he would surely drink again, and if he drank, he would surely die. And faith would be dead indeed. With us, it is just like that. this is one of those super important paragraphs that there's enough in here. I could probably spend an entire hour talking about it, but I want to focus in. I want to focus in on the line: "For if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, he cannot survive the certain trials and low spots ahead." And I want to focus in on that because that sentence right there, this paragraph kind of embodies step 12. And keep in mind, Bill's story was written before the steps. So this is like a precursor to step 12 before it was actually written down and articulated, if you will. and this particular line is like the key to long-term recovery, right? So like we come in here, we get abstinent, we work the steps. We find a spiritual way of life where we're using our will to serve like a greater purpose or God's will, if the words, those words are appropriate. And what happens, I take on a new way of life here, and I start doing things quite different. And what this paragraph is taught. I'm no longer invested in the results or the circumstances of what's taking place around me. What I start focusing on is having the courage to change the things I can. And so what that means is focusing on the directions, the means, and not the destination. And this is our means right here to long-term recovery, work and self-sacrifice for others. And it's especially important because this is the directions for how it is that we survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. I know for me, COVID-19 was certainly a trial. I lost my job in 2020 as a result of the pandemic, and that was certainly a low spot. And there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that Overeaters Anonymous, the 12 steps, this line right here, provided the means through which to like navigate to the other side of that and get out on the other side of that, still abstinent, still relatively sane and happy, and more willing than ever to carry this message to other compulsive overeaters because of what a gift it's been. In my own life, the type of presence and awareness and ability it's given me to be able to show up and really participate in my own life, not just get by compulsively overeating and barely surviving, but really like thrive in who I am and who a higher power would have me be and how a higher power would have me participate in this life. So thank you for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thank you very much, Jordan L. Okay, so we're commenting on page 14, paragraph 6. My friend emphasized and ends with, "It's just like that." So though we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others can share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last two meetings, then please, excuse me, in the last 2 days, press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
Irene R. Irene B.
Eileen B.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Rod Marina K.
Judy Jacobs.
I heard Rod G. and somebody Jacobs.
Judy J.
Judy J. Okay. And yeah. Thanks for your full name. Okay. And I heard somebody else in there as well.
Rowena K.
Okay. Let me tell you who I've got. Eileen. Somebody B. Oh, Irene B. Eileen B. No, okay. I'm sorry. I'm giving myself little notes here that I can't understand. Okay, the first person I heard was Kristen. I didn't get the first initial of your last name. Then Eileen B. Then Deborah G., Roz G., Jody Jacobs, or Jody J., and Rowena. And so if I mess up your name, please correct me when it's your turn. And we're going to start with Kristen. And please, if you're not Kristen, please press star 1 to mute your phone. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Kristen R. in Virginia. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. I'm a compulsive overeater and in the ninth step, but still struggling. I really get scared when I hear I have to work with others because it's so normal for me to isolate myself and when I'm in my disease, to avoid people, literally avoid people, even people I know. And so the idea of working with others feels overwhelming and scary. And even now I'm at my ninth step, I'm making my amends, and I still feel scared. I'm going to have to do the 12 steps soon. I'm going to have to sponsor people. I'm going to have to reach out to people and listen to 10 steps and do service at meetings. And it all feels overwhelming. And I wish I had an answer or an anecdote, but the know from previous experience in the program is to just do it. Even if it's just incremental, small changes. Taking a 10-step from someone, you know, can be a great service during the day. But just, and even if I have to call and ask someone to motivate me to do it, I'm just reminded that whenever I get out of myself, I feel better. And it's the great irony of this program that when I forget myself, I feel better. It's when I'm in my isolation, when I'm in my self-obsession, that I'm miserable and unhappy. And the way to get out of that is to help other people. And my disease doesn't want that. My disease wants me to stay alone, to be isolated, to not help other people, to say I'm too busy, I've got a job, I've got kids, and I just can't do it. I'm just too busy. But that's my disease talking, because my disease wants to keep me on the food and keep me isolated. And so I've been relapsing for the last 2 years repeatedly. And the one thing that I really need to do is to help other people, to carry the message, to pay forward what I've been so freely given by so many people in the program. So I'm open for outreach calls. If anyone, you know, is willing to talk about this, I'd really appreciate it. I think that's it. That's all I have. I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much, Kristen R. Thank you very much. Okay, Irene B. is up next, followed by Deborah G.
Thank you so much for your beautiful service. I'm Irene B., a gratefully recovered bulimic from Louisiana. How am I going to get better? Here it is, enlarge my spiritual life. And it's like, how am I going to do that? And what's wrong with my spiritual life? Well, I'll tell you what's wrong. I've made myself my own God. I've made other people my God. I am a love and validation addict, a food addict. I'm just messed up. And this spiritual life thing keeps coming back at me. What is the deal with this spiritual life? I've never understood what the problem is. But the problem is that I look for my ease and comfort in other people. And I've made myself my own God. And I've made other people my God. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And also, you know, it's all about me, selfish, self-centered, and self-seeking. I got to get out of that, and I don't know how to do that, but my higher power is going to show me how to do that. And, you know, fake it until you make it. Yeah, I'm going to be of service in whatever way I can to whoever I can to hopefully come out of self, to hopefully find recovery, to hopefully connect with my higher power. And like I say a million times over, thank you, God, for this program that teaches me exactly that, how to connect with and establish a relationship with higher power. And I cannot establish that relationship with higher power unless I spend time with that higher power. If I don't spend time with my higher power, I'm not going to grow that relationship. And that's what's crucial for my recovery. And, you know, what you do for the least of my brothers, you're doing for me. Service, service, service. In whatever way I can. You know, God help me be of service and to come out of myself. And when I'm serving others, I'm not thinking about my needs. I'm thinking about their needs. And I need to come out of self. I need to give back. I need to do that if I'm going to get better. It's so paradoxical. The more I give, the more I get. The more I give, the more I get. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much for listening.
Oh, thank you very much, Irene B. Deborah G., you're up next, followed by Roz G.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for your service this morning and leading us and everyone for making this meeting possible. Just beautiful. Thanks for all the shares. And welcome to all the newcomers. Oh, I'm so glad that you're here. And what came up for me was, is it really a low spot? You know, I'm learning more and more. The more time I'm doing this work, the more conscious I am of that self-centered fear. And when I think it's a low spot, it's that self-centered fear for me. You know, how I'm looking at something. So I can take that to a 10th step and get back into a place of focusing on someone else, calling someone else, and working with whoever I'm working with, doing the steps with someone else, getting out of that. And also being open to praying for those people, you know, opening up that spiritual pipeline so that we can connect on that spiritual realm to try and lift up consciousness for myself and for them. I think it happens for both of us. You know, it's such a beautiful, beautiful thing. And yes, I'm so grateful for this program, and I'm so grateful all of you are here, you know, lifting me up. Thank you, and have a beautiful day.
Thank you very much, Deborah G. Roz G., you're up next, followed by Jody. Roz G., star one to unmute.
Good morning. I had a little issue with the mute. Can you hear me, Roz G.?
Yes, Roz. Please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. My name's Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, and I'm out walking my dog, so that's my background noise. So this message about we must surely do this or we will surely die is not the most fun message to tell someone. It's rather harsh, but I have seen, and, you know, maybe as I'm sharing, you can recall a person that you know that has died as a result of this disease. And the person that I knew was in an AA meeting and was talking about a food problem. And I was sitting as a person, who is listening at an open AA meeting versus, and I don't have the alcoholism part of it, but I like to go to the open meetings occasionally and listen. And I approached her, this was early, you know, years ago, about being in OA and that I'm in OA and I understand, and would you like some help? And we worked together a little while, but the food really won and took her life. She died of gangrene of the intestines. And I remember she called me to go to her house once because she needed to do something that was upstairs and she couldn't climb the stairs to see if her son was alive because he didn't wake up. You know, that's what this disease brings us to. And that, it's not fun to hear, but it's very important that I remember that. And I have a built-in forgetter. So my service and self-sacrifice in the morning is getting up super early, like oh dark hundred, and praying and meditating and thanking, you know, my God in heaven for my life and the goodness in OA and my church fellowship and that sort of thing. You know, praying those prayers about the third step and turning my will and my life over to God's care. That's the, you know, staying in fit spiritual condition. And then the other part is I spend an hour sponsoring in half an hour increments. I used to do groups, but one-on-one really works better. So I take a person through the steps for half an hour every day. And that is a, you know, I'm sacrificing my sleep. I could be sleeping in, but beginning my day with God and working with others is service and self-sacrifice. And it works because it gives me a foundation to for the rest of my day. Do I get resentment? Yes. Do I have to do 10 steps? Yes. Am I resentful when I look at my nightly review? Mostly every day. But thank God for the tools. Thank you, and I'll wrap up by saying thank God for the tools and the reminders and the spiritual life that keeps me on the beam. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Raj G. Okay, Jody, you are up next, followed by Rowena.
Good morning, everybody. This is actually Judy with an I, J, from Illinois.
Thank you,
sorry about
Judy.
That.
Sorry. No, I'm sorry. Oh, I can't read my own writing. Okay, thanks, Judy.
Thank you very much. Thank you for everybody on the line. This is such an appropriate paragraph for me right now. My sponsor, I felt, was very pushy about sponsoring. And I just was very belligerent about it. And I'm coming off of a 2-year relapse. I have over 100 or more days of abstinence. I had all the excuses. Now, I have sponsored before, and I received so much from that. Why I fought it now, I don't know. It doesn't matter. But this decision was starting to be overworked in my head. It was like a ping pong game of yes or no to sponsoring, and it became all consuming. Finally, I knew I was going to eat over it. If nothing else, I would start over. And my ego was just draining me, that committee in my head, I call it, of just, again, the ping pong game that was going on. So finally, in my meditation time, which I do in the morning, I let it go. I just truly had to let it go. Once I let it go, immediately, I was at peace in my mind. So I'm an example of faith without works was dead, because that was what was going to happen to me. And just like in this paragraph, it warns us, it warned me, I need to do this. And then there's this promise. I need to do this to survive the certain times and trials and low spots ahead of me. So in my quiet time, I asked, who wouldn't want that promise? Who wouldn't want that promise to help me out of the certain trials and low spots ahead? So it is happening. I am living in the peace of letting it go and sharing my experience with others. Step 12. For anyone that's on the fence about it, and that's something I say a lot, on the fence, it hurts after a while to sit on a fence. I'm moving forward, and I'm just so glad I let it go. And I just have a peace about it. And I've put my name out there, and I've gotten some responses, and I'm very grateful. It's back to doing the work and the action. And thank you. Thank you for Bill W. This paragraph, it couldn't have come at a better time for me. I always say my higher power has a sense of humor. I'm full-blooded Irish. That's how I think a lot of times. And I thought when I read this last night, this paragraph, I thought, oh, this is just perfect for me to be reading. Thank you, everyone. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much, Judy J. Okay, Rowena is up next. And after her, we will take another lineup on page 14 of Bill's story, paragraph 6. My friend emphasized ending with us. It is just like that. So, Rowena, please share with us.
Hi, my name is Rowena Kay. I'm from the United Kingdom. Thank you for letting me share. And I've heard I'm so grateful for the shares that have gone before me, because, you know, that people have named the things that I don't have names for. And yeah, it's just so good sometimes just listening. And I like this paragraph because it talks about practicing these principles in all my affairs. And sometimes that is just really hard to do. When, like, it comes to resentments and my work affairs, people, colleagues, things like that. I just feel like this paragraph really suits me right now, because I am in a low spot and I'm in a trial of some kind. I've been abstinent for quite some time. For me, it's a long time. And I just feel like, you know, life is, you know, it talks about feeling better. Well, I'm feeling my feelings better. And it just feels very, very difficult at the moment. So, you know, this paragraph feels like a direction to me of saying, you know, perfecting and enlarging my spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others. I like that it doesn't say what I have to do. It just says I have to do something, some work and some self-sacrifice. So I'm open to sponsoring. I haven't found anybody yet. So because I'm in such a crap place in my head, because of this meeting, I've decided, I mean, not because of this meeting, but this meeting has helped me to see that I need to throw myself into work with others. And if that's just calling some newcomers for today, that's what I need to do. And I find that this paragraph, it's quite fatalistic, because it says with us, it is just like that, you know, like it's not arguing, it's telling us, it's just like that. And it, you know, it says we could not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead unless we do some work for others. And today in the UK, it's 80 degrees or 27 degrees, whichever one you do, and it's really hot. And I know that there have been times when I've been in this place in the past where the only option for me was food, and I cannot think of anything worse right now than getting sticky and hot with chocolate, because, you know, the weather wouldn't stop me. And with the way I feel right now, you know, that's where I would go to. But I'm just grateful to have a choice today. You know, I know that if I pick up the phone and I make some calls to other people and forget about myself, you know, my self-obsession, my self-seeks, my fears and all the rest of it, because that's where I am right now. I'm just self-obsessed, you know, believing people don't like me, all that crap. So thank you so much for letting me share, and I'll pass. And thank you, moderator, for your warm, friendly tone.
Thank you very much, Rowena Kay from the UK. Okay, though we value everyone's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others can share their experience too. So if you'd like to comment and you haven't shared in the last two days, let me know.
Rowena, Jerry KB,
Eileen S,
Barbara W,
Karen
B, Eileen M.
Oh my
Liz
goodness.
S.
Okay. Wow. I wish we had an hour for shares. I'll tell you who I heard. Okay, Chrissy O, Sherry KB, Karen T, Liz F, maybe? Was
yeah.
there a Liz
mm-hmm.
F? Okay,
yes.
Great. And then after that, I'm sorry, if I didn't say your name and you'd like to share, we've got room for maybe two more.
Leah S.
Eileen M.
Leah S.
Eileen.
And Eileen M. One more.
Marietta P.
Marietta P. Yeah, I think I heard you in there too before. Okay, wonderful. So we have Chrissy O, Sherry KB, Karen T, Leah S, Eileen M, and Marietta P. So we'll start with Chrissy O, and if you're not Chrissy O, please press star 1 to mute your phone.
Hi, this is Chrissy O, and hi, this is Chrissy O in Indiana and Florida. You know, faith without works was dead. If I don't do this work, all 12 steps, I'm going to die. And you know how appalling true for the alcoholic. For if we fail to perfect and enlarge our spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice. And that self-sacrifice really struck out to me. Recently, I looked up the definition of altruism again. Our book tells us that there's an altruism growing up amongst us. And it gave a definition of someone having a lunch and someone not having a lunch. And the person with the lunch gave his lunch to the fellow next to him, and he went without his lunch for the day. And I thought, how apropos for us compulsive overeaters. Not that we want to not eat our weighed and measured planned meal, et cetera, but that's the kind of sacrifice that this program talks about, giving of ourselves something that we have, maybe that we even kind of need. And, you know, we're sacrificing our time for other people. And that we could not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead if we don't do this, if we don't do this work. You know, we would surely drink again. And if we drink, he would surely die. There's no promise of us ever getting back on, getting abstinent again. I don't know that I would. And I'm not going to take that chance to see if I would not do this work and then to, you know, start eating again and take a chance of that never getting abstinent again and dying in this disease. It would be just like that it ends with. And I think of the self-sacrifice too. The book says some of us are so situated that we can spend most of our time doing this kind of work. And I'm retired, so guess what? I can spend most of my time doing this kind of work, and I do. And it says that some of us are so situated we can spend a lot of our time doing this work, and we do. And thank goodness I don't have to bring alcoholics into my home that are going to smash up my furniture. But, you know, sometimes it is appropriate to bring an addict into our home, a compulsive overeater, if we can do that, you know. I mean, that's kind of way out there. But I know of someone that's done it many times. So thank you all for being there, and I will keep coming back, and I will pass Chrissy O. in Florida and Indiana.
Thank you so much, Chrissy O. Okay. Well, we had a very generous offer for Sherry KB to give up her time so that another person can share. So we're going to go through the lineup, and if there's time for another share, we'll take it at that time. Thank you, Sherry KB. That's very thoughtful. Okay, so Karen T., you're up next, followed by Leah S.
Hello, everyone. I'm Karen T., recovered compulsive overeater from New Orleans. Thanks, Sherry KB. That's so sweet. Altruistic. Isn't that what we just heard? Anyway, I wanted to comment on this paragraph because it's a fatal disease that we have, right? And this is the directions, again, says many times in the big book, our way out is now self-sacrifice and working with others. And that is a huge motivator. If I know that I have a fatal disease, and that motivates me. I'm like running away from compulsive eating, and I'm running fast. But it also talks in this paragraph about enlarging our spiritual life. And when my experience is when I enlarge my spiritual life, I'm running towards spirituality and a higher power. And it's less about running away from the food and more about running to God. So when I check my motives, you know, my motive can be one of fear, or it can be one of love and service, running towards God and wanting to do service. So they both work, and that's the main thing. But, you know, when my motive can be running towards God and not running away from the food, that is a spiritual experience for me. And I think this idea of being recovered means that I'm no longer in fear of compulsive eating because I trust and rely upon God. So those are my thoughts. With that, I pass. Again, this is Karen T. from Louisiana. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Karen T. Good to hear you. Okay. Leah S. is up next, followed by Eileen M.
Oh, I didn't know that I was next. Oh, thank you. What a wonderful, wonderful group. I love you guys. Thank you, everyone. This is Leah S., and presently in upstate New York. Okay, so I'm going to concentrate on this. My friend had emphasized the absolute necessity of demonstrating these principles in all my affairs. Oh, wow. All my affairs. Imperative, important, whatever the word is, whatever the adjective is, I got to practice my program in all my affairs. So presently I'm in a different situation than I used to be in. You know, like you get up in the morning, you know where you're going, you know what you're doing, you know what to, well, this summer is really unpredictable for me. And I need to practice these principles in all my affairs. So fears are met with 10-step. And these 10 steps are a lifesaver for me. Why? Because it gets me to review my emotions and my perspectives. Absolutely. What am I going to do? What am I not going to do? And then I have bigger fears. God Almighty, you know, I'm going to go through a procedure on Wednesday, and I've been fantasizing, and I've been, like, really working myself up. Thank God for these 10 steps. My goodness, I am so full of faith. So what's the spirituality about that? The spirituality is very simple, brought down to my own terms. The way I can relate to you, that's the way I speak to God. It's just no other way. I mean, how can I relate? I'm a human being. I'm not in the spheres, hemispheres up there or whatever it is, you know. And you know what? I want to tell you guys, the more you practice this in all your affairs, the better off you are. The stronger you get, the more confidence you get. You jump into things that you never did. Hey, I jumped into a dance group where I didn't even know anyone because I was feeling low. And before you knew it, I had such a good time. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This program is incredible. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much, Leah S. Eileen M., you are up next, followed by Marietta P.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., a recovered compulsive overeater in Lebanon, New Hampshire. And, I love the line, what's jumping out at me today is practice the principles in all my affairs. And, you know, I'm just thinking about how important that 11-step review is at night, you know, to do that consistently. You know, to look at my day and, you know, what is my behavior toward other people? How has that been? How am I showing up today? You know, and just the big book, you know, and I'm just thinking about, you know, step 10. That step 10 inventory is so important to do that consistently because when I'm disturbed, the big book tells me that I am out of alignment and that needs to be taken care of as soon as possible. And then when I do that, I need to turn my attention to someone I can help. And, you know, I think about the review, you know, like in the review questions asked, like, you know, have I been honest today? Where have I been honest? You know, and like, what about humility? Have I practiced humility? Where is my ego showing up again and again, you know, trying to rebuild itself? And where am I trying to run the show? You know, that is really important to look at. How am I trying to arrange life to suit myself? And how does that affect other people? You know, and that's why we have the 7-step, because, you know, I'm powerless over my character defects. And, you know, that's why I need prayer. I need to go to higher power. And, you know, I said I believed in a higher power. Am I practicing faith throughout the day? You know, I said I believe that only a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. You know, and just, it's just, the principles are so important, and I love how that demonstrates that and or in the big book. So thanks so much. Grateful to be here.
Thank you very much, Eileen M. Okay, Marietta P., you are up next.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, Marietta P. here. And I'd like to go ahead and pass my time to somebody else.
Oh, my, how generous of you. Okay. Well, In that case, we have time for two-minute shares, and who would be interested in sharing if you haven't shared in the last two meetings?
Patio.
Patio, one more. Two-minute share.
Barbara W.
And Barbara W., please share with us, Patio.
Hi, this is Patio. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I live in Florida. And when I read this paragraph, my ego and myself gets in the way because I want to say, what could I possibly share with someone who is suffering? Because all I can see is my past failures. Just like, how is that supposed to help somebody? But faith without works is dead. And so in spite of how my ego feels, in spite of how I feel, I have to trust what this says, that do the work and you'll come out the other side. It will serve a purpose. You know, that my terrible past of food addiction and relapse in food addiction, you know, it's just, it influences how I live today. I'm trying not to let that be. I'm trying to live in the day. And that terrible, shameful, embarrassing past due to my food addiction serves a noble purpose if it can help another. And I just have to have faith that what you're telling me and what this book is telling me is the truth. And then the last thing I wanted to say was where if he did not work, he would surely die. And if he drank, oh, no, if he did not work, he would surely drink. And if he drank, he would die. I have been so, the bottom of my food addiction, so low where death seemed to me would be a mercy. So my disease of addiction not only will kill me, but until I get to that day of, you know, when I die, I am going to be miserable. And I truly believe that there's a better way. I just have to keep seeking it. So thanks for letting me share. My name's Patio.
Thank you very much, Patio. Appreciate that. Okay, and our final share will be Barbara W. Please share with us, Barbara.
Good morning, Barbara W. from Washington State. What really jumps out at me about this whole paragraph is it tells me how far I've come. I absolutely get the greatest joy out of serving, out of sponsoring. Right now I've got two sponsees that we're working on going through the first 164. And I honestly look forward to their time with me, half hour every day, 5 days a week. And I've come to realize that I have a lot to offer. I've been in this program for 45 years, and I have been up and down and up and down, and my primary addiction is binge eating. A primary problem was binge eating. Oh, and today I live a little bit with the consequences of my disease, in that I've never could live right in my own income. I went to Goodwill, or I went to another thrift store, or a low budget store, variety store of some sort, and there went my money. And now I am giving of myself that time and that sponsee that still kind of struggles with serving others, and the joy I get and the laughter I get encouraging these people is
gentle
something
reminder.
I can't measure. And I do it with the greatest love and joy. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Barbara W. and everybody that shared today. We'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Robin P. please read A Vision for You?
Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater, usually in Costa Rica, currently in Palm Beach, Florida. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past and give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then, amen.